Bill 753, and I noticed that in the audience here we have one of the main proponents of the bill. Hope I didn't put that wrong, sir. Can we have you come to join us at the table and
Fine. Where do you want us?
Right, the table's fine.
Good. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'd like to give you a brief interpretation of what Senate Bill 753 is all about. And basically, it does two things. It removes the regulatory function as it pertains to children that are placed in daycare centers from the state's authority to local authority. The rationale for that being, aside from the philosophical aspects that the state should not be regulating children, more importantly is that there's greater response in a state the size of Alaska with its unique differences. Local people, most certainly, since children are a very personal thing, it would seem, should be more qualified to determine the type of facilities and the type of care that those children receive. More importantly, when they do have objections to what's happening, there should be immediate access for remedy to those things. With the state doing this regulation, that's not entirely possible. It isn't prohibitive, but it isn't immediately possible. Government is just too far removed from all of our people. Recently, the National Congress had a child care bill that was vetoed by the president on the same premise, that children should more importantly be regulated on the state level rather than by federal mandate. The likelihood of that veto being sustained, I have no greater information than anyone else, just from what I read in the paper. The veto was overridden in the House, but the odds are that it'll be sustained in the Senate. It was. The other thing that 753 does, and there seems to be a great amount of confusion and misconception, that with the passage of this measure, daycare services would diminish. This is not true. From my own city, I've had the opportunity, along with colleagues from other communities, to personally speak to the governor regarding proposed federal regulations last year that would have imposed a burden on every child daycare paying parent in this state to the tune of double to 2.5 times what the current fee is. That's if the federal regulations had been successful and went to a 1-to-4 ratio. The governor at that time was prepared to forego those federal funds in order not to impose this increased burden upon those who pay for daycare. It's my understanding that the administration currently is prepared to fund out of general fund expenditures for those children that do need state assistance any monies that we lose because of the change, either through the transfer as 753 proposes or on the enactment of stringent federal regulations that would impose a greater burden for daycare onto the citizens of this state. I'm convinced the governor will do this. I'm also convinced, and totally convinced, that under no circumstances will he allow a diminishment in daycare services to those recipients that need state help. I'm happy to report that the opinions and the concept that 753 puts forth was adopted by a wide margin by my colleagues in the Senate. It passed there with a 19-to-1 vote. There's also been some confusion as to when this will be implemented, As you know, there's no effective date on the bill, therefore we're talking approximately something in excess of 3 months, 90 days before the legislation does become effective. And this should be adequate time to have any municipality propose its regulations. Now, daycare centers would still fall under state requirements insofar as sanitation and fire are concerned, as do every other business within the state. The most successful daycare program, I wish to remind each and every one of you who had a great part in making it a reality last year, was a program administered by Community and Regional Affairs. In my limited experience in the legislature, that's the first program that I have received just complimentary notes about a year and a half after the fact. People just like the way it's administered, and that's administered on a local level. I refuse to buy the argument this is an imposition on a local municipality when we have expanded daycare services in this state twofold with the Community and Regional Affairs. And remember, that program was predicated on administration by the local municipality participating with those state funds. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that you might have on 753. Representative Freeman, I am, and I think I am now. I haven't seen it. If it's the one that she proposed on the floor of the Senate, it was also defeated handily. I better read this one. I don't think this is the one she proposed. I don't know what the crux of the amendment is aimed at. I would like to reserve any remarks regarding it until I could hear some rationale by the originator. Mr. Chairman, one afterthought here that I think that I should make you all aware of is that the bill was not hastily conceived, and I'm very proud to say that I think it accomplishes what my intent was, what my fellow colleagues on Health and Social Services' intent was, and it was done by two individuals who I just really feel know what it's all about, and both of these people happen to be on the staff of Senator Chance. Marcia and Debbie just did a thorough job, went to great pains to identify every possible dollar that we might put in jeopardy on the program. And I'm just totally convinced, the governor's convinced, the Commissioner of Health and Social Services supports it, and most importantly, the people support it. The people want control of their children on the local level. Mr. Chairman, I'm not aware of this position paper, but I am aware of the Commissioner's testimony before the Senate committee on this matter, and should there be a change, he's had a reversal in thought. And of course, I plan, if in fact this is so, to immediately leave here, see if I can get an audience with the governor, because to my knowledge, his response to the governor is what I've stated to you. He had no objections.
I don't know how unusual it might be for persons in the administration to have never changed their mind occasionally. If there aren't any more questions, I'd like to.
Good, thank you.
Jeannie wanted to have a few minutes as well. I'm not sure if she's in a position for a rebuttal or.
Oh, no, first of all, lest anybody feel that I am here trying to shoot down the bill, I'm not. To digress or go back a little bit, the way I got my label as being a liberal legislator was when I first came in, I introduced legislation that would have required that or allowed the local communities to make their decisions on health systems called Certificate of Need, which has now all of a sudden become the national rage and is required by federal government. And that was such a change, allowing local governments to make these decisions. Plus another bill that was entitled Community Services Act that would have provided for the local communities to do all their own planning, identify their needs, set their goals and priorities, and only upon endorsement from the local community would state funds go into services in those communities. And that was an extremely liberal position, and so of having the idea of having the decisions made at the local level, consequently I became identified as a liberal. What I've always tried to do is make things work so that the people at the local level can get their best services and have their input. I appreciate also the fact that the Community and Regional Affairs Daycare Subsidy Program is operating so well and as such success. Last year when we got the idea for it, the gentlemen in the Senate were good enough to give me plenty of time to draft that bill in such a way that it would work. And we worked with the departments and with the local municipalities so that by the time it became effective, it was implemented without any great hitch, with one exception, and that was in Ketchikan. So I'm very proud of the success of the CRA and the fact that the local communities, if they wanted the daycare subsidy in their community, agreed to assume the administrative costs of it. That, in effect, was their match. If they didn't want to do that, then they didn't have to have the state subsidy in their communities. All of the communities, with the exception of Ketchikan, have proceeded, and there was some misunderstanding in Ketchikan as to whether or not it was constitutional. I understand that's currently in the courts, and there is another bill that we have in free conference to make it absolutely plain what the intent of the legislature was. Now, on this one, we started looking at this problem at the very beginning of the legislative session, and it all sprung up as a real problem because of some sudden crackdowns by some inflexible and fairly rigid, I would assume, social workers out in the field that started cracking down on private babysitters for not having a license. And it was happening in Larry Davis's community, in Nels Anderson's community, and it started here in Juneau. And the big flap grew. So I introduced a bill relating to licensing so that we would have a forum for discussion and try to find the alternatives. In these discussions, we came up with several different possible alternatives. All of them, for one reason or another, were rejected. The final alternative that was brought up before the discussion ceased was getting the state out of licensing altogether and get it back into the municipalities. Once again, the committee asked me if I would assume the responsibility for drafting it, and with the staff, we set about. We discussed it in committee as I was asking questions about what policy, you know, areas where policy decisions should be made by committee even for the first draft. The next day we brought in a draft. We found problems with it, had it redrafted, brought it in. I felt there were still some problems with it, but at that point the committee picked it up and introduced it with a committee report, and 2 days later it appeared on the calendar without its being finished. Or without even being going to finance committee, where additional work could be done on it. I'm not trying to shoot the bill down. That's why I did not create a flap on the floor of the Senate, because I figured that is the beauty of a bicameral legislature. I know a lot of your favor of unicameral, but we do have a bicameral. So I had faith that the problems that exist can be worked out so that it will work. I want it to work. The amendment that I suggested here, when the bill appeared so suddenly on the calendar without our having an opportunity in finance committee to relook it, and at the point we were discussing it in the HES committee, it appeared that it had over a $600,000 fiscal note, and so that's why I assumed it would go to finance committee. But I knew that one of the problems was that if we say the state will no longer be licensing and the municipalities may pick it up without a vote of the electorate, but further back in the bill we say that the state subsidy can only go to licensed providers, that's the kicker, where we are in fact forcing municipalities into licensing. And by not having an effective date on it or some mechanism for transition, and this is why I offered an effective date as a quick response when it appeared on the calendar. And but I didn't want to go into too much discussion because I didn't want to hassle. I want the thing to work. Now, then in the meantime, the staff was looking at what some of these problems might still be. And that was the one major problem that I spotted, that if, in fact, we have no effective date or we have no mechanism in there for transition, then the state is no longer capable of licensing at the end of 90 days. That means the state licenses are no longer effective. And if any municipality has not geared up to start issuing licenses and there is no municipal license offered, then all of a sudden, all children currently receiving state subsidy in that community are going to stop receiving the daycare service at state expense. And then the municipality and we in the legislature are going to have an uprising on our hands. This was my concern. Consequently, the staff drafted this proposed amendment for your consideration. You might have a better approach to it. I don't know, but that's where this is coming from and the reason for it. And I don't know if anybody else has a better way or what have you.
Senator, did you have a chance to take a look at the position paper?
No, I have not.
He suggests that on the same line of the problem that you had with the money only going to licensed facilities, he suggested that it be mandatory for the local governments to provide that licensing.
Well, in effect, it is mandatory when you say they may do it without going to the vote of an electorate. In other words, they may do it by an ordinance. But, and see, we never had time to hear from municipalities on this either, as to how they would handle it or if they'd want assistance from the state in financing it or how long it would take them to gear up for it. And the kicker is back in the bill where we are still requiring a license for facilities that are receiving the state subsidy from the one we created last year, and I don't want to endanger that program because it's going so well.
Do they have a continuing requirement to update each year?
Who?
The facilities that are licensed by the Department of Justice right now.
There is a requirement for, I believe it's an annual license, or is it
annual license?
Yes.
They had their license last year, and then licensing authority being removed, well, they would just automatically have a continued license.
Well, what this is what I'm trying to say here is that any daycare provider, be it a center or a home, who has a state license, that license would continue in existence until the municipality issues, or, you know, is prepared to issue licenses. In no event, no later than March 15th. Now, that would mean that the existing licenses would stay in. The State Department of Health and Social Services would be out of the business of issuing licenses. But at least the existing licenses would not be in jeopardy. So there is some burden upon the municipalities to proceed with licensing if they're going to have any new licensed facilities in there. But they would be required to know later than March 15th. At that time, we'd already be back in the legislature in case other problems have developed. My point out, too, for Mr. Davis's benefit, the only mandatory licensing on the part of the local municipality is on for providers who are caring for children receiving state subsidy. The local municipality can decide themselves whether or not they want to expand and also license the private daycare providers, which are the babysitters that brought the problem to begin with. Under current law, if you provide daycare, child care service with or without profit, you are required to have a license, and that's, that the babysitter is required. This would only mandate it for those who are providing for children being subsidized with the state. And the municipality can either decide to expand, but that decision would be made at the local level, whether or not they're going to license everybody or just license those that the state mandates them to license.
This may be an obvious question, Jeannie, but how about the unorganized rural areas? That's a problem here. I don't see that it's covered.
It is covered to the extent that the Department of Community and Regional Affairs can approve one. The thought being that the fire code and the sanitation code already applies to those things anyway. And that really is where the biggest problem is trying to meet the fire code and the sanitation code. If they are providing the service and they can satisfy the fire marshal and they can satisfy the sanitary inspection and get the certificates from them, then the Department of Community and Regional Affairs would consider that an approved daycare provider eligible for the subsidy.
Well, then the ratio, for instance, guidelines for a ratio of 1 to 4,
not unless it's included in the, I don't know if it's included in the fire marshal, fire code or not. Fire and sanitation codes.
One other thing that I'll just mention is in Commissioner Williams's position paper, he felt that, as I mentioned before, that the licensing authority should be required of local governments, and as well, he felt that the delineation of those areas of protection should be spelled out in the bill as far as establishing standards. He felt that the bill should establish standards that the local governments would have to adopt when they licensed.
Well, now we discussed this in committee when we were working on this bill, and they do have to meet the state fire code. They do have to meet the state sanitation code. So that's your minimum licensing requirements right there. The whole reason this thing came about was we were trying to find a way to come up with state standards that could be flexible enough to reflect the conditions of the various areas of the state. And I don't know, it's virtually impossible. We came up with one that would provide for the department to provide easy waiver procedures. That they could go into the department, the department could grant waivers, etc., so that they could, by practice, make it apply. But that still seemed rather cumbersome, and the majority of the committee wanted to go this way, feeling like, well, at the local level, they're going to be establishing standards that reflect the conditions of that community. So if we try to build standards into state legislation, when the problem is trying to establish standards statewide that reflect all the varying conditions in various areas of the state, I don't know, maybe we could do it. I haven't addressed myself to it.
Mrs. Redd?
That's a technical question, but in the definition of a daycare facility, you don't mention any minimum or maximum number of children. Does this mean that a daycare facility could be just one child staying in someone else's home? And does that mean that someone who is in a municipality that licenses daycare facilities, who takes in children, say one child, not even for pay, because daycare is defined as just care, supervision, and guidance of a child without any definition of being paid or not. What does it all mean?
Well, it is a home or center. It's a daycare facility is a home or a center providing daycare services.
Would the effect of this bill be that if a municipality establishes standards and licensing of daycare facilities, that a person who takes one child into his or her home for any period of time without getting paid for it could be found in violation?
Well, there once again, that decision would be left at the local level for the municipality to decide if they are going to make a division as to what is a daycare home and what is the daycare center. And invariably, in working with these definitions, you come down to the point of generally, it is a cutoff on the number of children being cared for. Or, in some of our definitions, we've ended up with it is a home normally used as a residence caring for no more than X number of children to define daycare home. A daycare center is the place that's operated commercially. But those decisions, those standards would be made at the local level rather than at the state under this.
May I answer that, Mr. Chairman? As you notice in the definition, it says these daycare care facilities are a center or home, which is licensed by that home rule or general law city, so mm-hmm. whichever ones they choose to license.
And they can set, they can either count them all as one or, as a daycare facility, or they can divide it out as daycare homes, daycare centers, or whatever type of category meets the conditions of that community.
And part of the turning it over to local governments would be the definition of what a daycare facility is.
And we're telling them what a daycare facility is so far as state's concerned. Now, if they want to go into any greater detail than that, they'd have to do it at the local level.
They could do it.
So there's nothing that prevents them from even licensing private daycare providers if they want to, but there's nothing in this bill that requires them to do it.
Are there further questions for Senator Chance? I notice we have some out-of-town guests. Mrs. Wolf, I don't know that you even wanted to testify, but we can have you next.
My name is Margaret Wolf, and I'm testifying on behalf of the National Association of Social Workers. And I would like to respond to a couple of the comments that Jeannie has made by indicating that we have been in the past involved in the assistance and development of a lot of social service kinds of legislation over the past several years. Mrs. Chance has had, for instance, task forces on various subjects. NASW has been an active participant in those task forces. We are very concerned about the timeliness of this particular piece of legislation, since we have not, in fact, had an opportunity to be involved in its development, to have our concerns addressed, and so we have some problems with the timeliness. But it is the feeling of NASW in general that services should be delivered at the closest level to home at which it can be adequately managed. The community services bill, which Jeannie mentioned in passing, is one which has had support from our organization. That was a bill which would have mandated a kind of a human resources commission at the local level, which would have been able to assume some of these kinds of responsibilities. So NASW does support delivery of services at the local level. In addition, we have more recently taken the stance that at least there should have been regional standards rather than one overwhelming state standard which would address the needs of children in daycare. We have not taken an official position as to individual standards at each local, municipal, or village level, but given our previous stance in support of the Community Services Bill, I would think that the organization as a statewide group would be prepared to support such a thrust, recognizing that we are a statewide organization and such a change would require a vote. But we do and have in the past supported verbally and actively social services delivery at the local level. We do have some problems with this bill specifically. And in order to address what some of those problems are, I'm going to have to go into a little bit about the philosophy of licensing, if you will bear with me. We've been here before. We kind of seem to be reinventing the wheel frequently, and I would like to make you aware of the fact that regional control is not a new idea. These are a couple of articles from the Anchorage Daily News and Daily Times in October 1950. They're two different articles, so be sure you get one of each. They demonstrate graphically that there was concern at the regional or local municipal level as far back ago as 26 years, and that after, historically, subsequent to the development of this kind of information, there was much debate and concern, and it was felt that there was an overriding state interest that was involved in the protection of children, and that's why there was originally state licensing. This is not one of those things that just was adopted whole cloth at the time of statehood and abruptly you have a daycare license and, whoopee. There was a lot of thought and concern about this problem way back at the very beginning. The purpose of it being because of the problems of child abuse and neglect. It does exist in Alaska. We have a much higher rate than all of the other states. Because of our high rate of child abuse, we have such things as the Cook Inlet Native Association Parent Aid Program, the Child Abuse Parenting Program and Board in Anchorage. We have had very serious kinds of abuse. A child out in the Bethel region whose mother bit her nose off. A child who died in Anchorage as a result of being thrown onto a concrete sidewalk. These are serious kinds of abuse, and there's nothing that, without a licensing law, protects children from being placed in daycare centers and homes that will perpetuate this kind of abuse. I would be quite willing to share with you, we were under the impression that this would go originally to the Hess Committee of the House, and so because of poor communication between Juneau and Anchorage, we had sent a letter to Representative Susan Sullivan as chairperson of the House Hess Committee. I don't have enough copies of this to share with everyone, but I do have some copies, and I'll give them to the clerk, and perhaps copies can be given to you all. This material cites some examples of abuse in child care, and I would just like to mention a few of them so that you can be aware that daycare does in fact include abuse potential. Just within the last 2 months, we had a new family daycare home referred for licensing in Anchorage. That family daycare home was caring for 4 or 5 infants. It was located very close to the mother's work site. And they were so pleased with this because they were all young babies. The mothers were nursing. This enabled them to leave their place of business, care for the child's needs, return to their place of business. and it seemed to be ideal. The place came to the attention of the department on a complaint, and several of the mothers were very irate at the fact that this family daycare home was going to have to be licensed. Upon investigation, the state licensor found the Anchorage municipality does not presently permit to operate family daycare homes. Upon investigation, the state family daycare licensor found that with the least little thing being wrong with the children, an unusual crying siege, an apparent discomfort, whatever might be the problem, the family daycare mother thought that the remedy was to give an enema to this infant. And we were, developing some hazardous situations, so that family was forbidden a family daycare license. And there were a couple of rather irate parents who were unable to understand the health hazards that were involved. We're concerned that kind of problem is not adequately cared for with this bill change. A second kind of situation was not too long ago, also a family daycare home in the Anchorage area, where the parents had lost their own children through court process as a result of abuse and neglect. And this had been some several years ago. There was no one now aware in the community that had been the past history, and they had moved into operating a family daycare home, and only through the process of the state licensing did it become known that this had been the situation, and a license was refused, and children were prevented from going into a potentially abusing situation. Another instance which occurred in a center was related to food. We had one center that decided that an adequate meal was serving one can of corn diluted with four cans of water, and that was corn soup. We stopped this in Anchorage.
Could I interrupt you for just a minute? It appears then that you're opposed to taking the licensing from the state and giving it to the local governments.
Not necessarily.
Well,
let me go on, and I'm just trying to say to you that abuse happens in centers and family daycare also, and that there needs to be some prevention mechanism. This bill eliminates the state responsibility for licensing, and therefore eliminates the overriding agency who could, one, be responsive to an inquiry on licensing of family daycare or daycare centers, because the state is responsible for the child protection services. We would feel that it would be important that there be some continuation of the state's responsibility, but that the delivery of services could be done at the local level. For instance, there might be a development of a set of standards at the local level, which that local level would then present to the State Department of Health and Social Services as their plan for daycare in their area. And upon approval of that plan, then the local municipality, whatever that might be, proceed to implement and be responsible for the licensing, monitoring, whatever you want to call it, under the provisions of the plan which they present. We would envision the state being responsible for indicating the areas that the plan must address. For example, indicating that the plan must speak to provision of adequate nutrition, must speak to adequate staff ratios, without spelling out exactly what those might consist of, so that there would be provision for individual community and cultural differences.
In other words, you'd have the local governments prepare their own standards, submit them to the state, and have the state approve them, and also have the state sort of supervise and be responsible for any complaints or
no, the
problems.
The complaints and the enforcement would rest at the local level also, but that the state would have the responsibility on a periodic basis, say every year or two, to come in and evaluate how that is operating, pulling a selection of licensing case files, whatever that might consist of, and saying, yes, you're seeming to be doing a very good job, or we don't find you're doing a very good job in these areas, and these are the reasons. we feel that there needs to be some strengthening or you're missing a given area. And then we are concerned because this bill eliminates any kind of protection in the unorganized borough. As a long-term game plan, I would see the state responsible for the delivering of licensing service in the unorganized areas who are unable and or unwilling to deliver that service, with the local municipalities being responsible for those areas that they cover. So that our recommendation would be that the Division of Social Service continue primary responsibility for licensing, with the secondary responsibility being housed in the local municipality, and that the language of this proposed bill, which provides for optional licensing, might even be strengthened to provide for mandatory licensing at the local level. I don't know if that's a possibility under the particular statute in which that language is housed. I think there are several things that I would like to say around that whole licensing issue. One is that standards are, since daycare is in fact a preventive and a child protective setting, standards must reflect the community's concerns. I think it would be impossible to have a single set of standards which could speak to all of the varying conditions throughout the state. I can't imagine that a set of standards that would be appropriate in the Anchorage area would be appropriate in Polygonac. It doesn't compute that you could have the same kinds of standards. But that the same areas of concern have been addressed so that children are adequately supervised, adequately housed in adequately fire-protected settings with enough staff to meet children's needs and adequately fed and clothed and warm and comfortable. I think those kinds of things can be said. I think that there were a couple of statements made you need to question. One is that fire and sanitation review will continue if this bill passes. Fire review will certainly continue because there is a uniform fire code. The fire code does not apply except on request when there are fewer than five children in care. And the sanitation code does not apply at all except through the present daycare regulations. It's my understanding that sanitation only enforces and inspects under those regulations. If those regulations are abrogated, there will no longer be any sanitation review, except upon request of any given municipality. I'd also like to indicate that there are some real concerns about the youngest children in daycare. Again, because of the shortness of the time, I was unable to have enough copies for everybody, but I have three copies here of a piece of material entitled Daycare Centers, Red Light, Green Light, or Amber Light by Umberto Noguero, which is a piece of testimony which was presented before the Joint Study Commission at the National Congress in relationship to the Child Development Bill, and which identifies some of the needs of the very young child in whatever care setting it might be, his own home or daycare, which speaks very specifically to such issues as how many staff are necessary to do those kinds of things. I'll also give those to the clerk for distribution. I'd also like to point out that there's a difference between a license and a permit to operate, which is what the Anchorage municipality offers. And in case anybody missed this at the beginning, let me make it very clear at this point. I'm not speaking for the municipality. I'm speaking for the National Association of Social Workers. The Anchorage municipality issues what's called a permit to operate. All that permit says is that the place has met fire codes, building codes, and that there is adequate provision for sanitation. It does not say that it is a safe place for children. It does not look at program. It does not ask the questions about staff qualification. It does not look at any of the questions such as child abuse or whatever. Those matters are all the responsibility of the state and all fall under that additional nebulous thing which results in the issuance of a license. So there's a difference between a permit to operate and a license. We also, in NASW, feel that the agency that is responsible for child placement and also responsible for licensing has a conflict of interest. If you're responsible for finding places for children to be and also responsible for licensing where those children are going to be, there's a big tendency to overlook problems. So that if you do talk about going to local licensing, you need to make some provision for separation, at least at the line delivery level, of the placement and the licensing function. That doesn't mean that they can't both be in the same agency and that they might not even be supervised by the same person. But they're almost incompatible functions for one same individual to deliver. We'd like to support the idea of including some kind of financial incentive and technical assistance to local municipalities to develop this licensing process. It is, in fact, time-consuming, especially if you're talking about a set of standards that's really going to reflect local concerns. That means that you don't start with somebody else's document. You start with identified areas of concern, such as food, staff, space, etc., and then say, what does that look like and what should it be in our area? That takes time. It takes some research in a community where this has never happened. I'd also like to remind you that the fire code does include staff ratios, so if one of your purposes of going to local licensing is to eliminate space ratio, this won't do it. I'm just throwing thoughts off the top of my head here now from my notes, which I made. Let me just check my notes to be sure I've covered them all. I think that it would be possible for the state to give some consideration to purchase of care standards for daycare, so that in the event you elected not to continue the overriding state responsibility for licensing, you might have a set of standards which would be required to be met for purchase of care.